Fonsy Doherty, chairman of Ballylennan Development Association, has returned from the United States, where Gard Gallagher, the local constable, has won a singing competition. While in New York, Fonsy has promoted the restored cottage at Drumskittrick, assumed birthplace of President Hoover's great-great-grandmother. He has enlisted the help of Kathleen O'Hara of the Irish Tourist Office, who accompanied him back to Ballylennan and gave useful advice. Her presence, however, has irked Fonsy's admirer, Muriel McConkie, the Development Association's secretary. The Reverend and Mrs. Hawthorne are also concerned about certain proposals for the cottage. Muriel's sister Vera attends to the consequent debate through the manual telephone exchange, where she is operator. Ballylennan, 1956.
Ballylennan call office.
Hello, Miss McConkie. Is your sister out in the shop?
No, Mr. Doherty. She's upstairs in the bed.
Is she not well?
Och, only a touch of wind on the nerves. Can I give her a message?
Only to say that me and Miss O'Hara, you know, we're going into Letterkenny to look for a few things to smarten up the Hoover homestead. We leprechauns of the garden and the like. I was wondering, has your sister a note in the minute about how much we agreed to spend?
Isn't Packy McGoldrick looking after that side of it?
He is, but I'm not passing on anything to do with the finances to him yet.
I'll go up to my sister and ask her. If she's awake, I'll give you a burl back in a minute.
Tell her I hope she's getting better. And tell her Miss O'Hara's only leaping with ideas for the homestead. Illuminated pictures of the historical heroes of Ireland, you know? St. Patrick and Mr. De Valera and that.
I'll be back to you, Mr. Doherty.
Is that you, Vera?
I didn't know if you were awake.
Oh, I didn't get 5 minutes sleep the whole night, Vera. I counted every hour rung on the church clock. Are there black circles under my eyes?
No, there aren't. And you were dead asleep when I went down to the toilet at 5.
5 was the first hour I didn't hear rung. Oh. I must have lain awake till 10:45.
Oh, it's not a great morning. Are you thinking of getting out of bed?
Well, I might come down to the kitchen about 11, Vera, but I won't open the shop. My mind was turning over and over in the night, Vera, and I decided on one thing.
Oh?
I won't speak to Fonsy Doherty while that one is staying in the hotel.
Miss O'Hara, I wouldn't say she'd be stopping long.
And I won't go out either, in case I run into her coming down the street in her flowery dress.
Oh, Muriel, you'll have to go out sometime. And there's a couple of letters addressed to the chairman of the Development Association.
Would you take them up to him?
Well, I will, but now he'd be wondering why you haven't.
Well, let him keep wondering.
And he was on the phone a minute ago. He wants to know how much the committee said they'd spend on garden gnomes.
I can't remember. I'd have to look it up.
I said I would ring him back.
But won't the next meeting be time enough?
They're going into Letterkenny to buy them.
They? Who's they?
Well, Mr. Doherty and Miss O'Hara.
I should have guessed.
There's nothing more to it.
A jaunt into Letterkenny. Well, you can tell him I've no note of that sum in the minutes. That'll put a stop to their gallivant.
Sure, Mr. Doherty has no notion you're vexed with him. All he knows is you're laid up with the flu.
No, the penny will drop sometime, Vera. You don't cold shoulder an old friend the way he did to me and not get to know how they've taken it.
I was cold-shouldered, Samuel. Mr. Doherty knows perfectly well that no one in Ballylennan has a greater interest in Gard Gallagher winning the singing competition than I, his teacher.
I suppose he felt it his duty to alert the press first, Vivian.
The press? He went straight to Mr. Bonner over my head. And I'm as much responsible for the win as Mr. Gallagher. I practically wrote all the words and music. I'd resign from the Development Association, except that's probably what Mr. Doherty wants.
Wants? Well, it may not be necessary for you to take any such drastic step. We mightn't be here in 6 months' time. The number of religious institutions seeking staff at present is quite surprising. Here's one. Minister with experience of life in small communities sought by United Presbytery of Paraguay.
We'd have to learn Spanish. Ozymandias would feel quite at home. You'd sing Spanish songs, wouldn't you?
I'm perfectly serious, Vivian. If the authorities decide to close the church here due to falling population, we'll have to find somewhere. I've written to 3 places listed in this.
And I'm perfectly serious, too. A warmer climate might help my little problem. Dr. McCarville was saying, well, he only mentioned it in passing, apparently people in the equatorial latitudes never experience what he called, rather rudely I thought, phantom pregnancies.
His choice of words certainly displays an absence of taste, but the Lord will no doubt vouchsafe an answer to our prayers in his own good time.
Did you post the census form?
I left it into the McConkie shop to the other Miss McConkie. She's collecting them. The older Miss McConkie's in bed with the flu. I bought a packet of cream puffs.
What if they both had the flu? Then there'd be no telephone.
Telephone. I often think creation would be simpler and better without these technological advances.
She's all right, Mr. Doherty. She's just a bit down in herself.
Meaning no disrespect, Miss McConkie. That's something to be expected at her time of life. But it's a thing that'll pass eventually, like the Boncrana bus.
Oh. Well, anyway, there's the letters. I won't stop now. I have to reopen the switch at 1 o'clock.
If what your sister needs is to be taken out of herself, there's a diocesan pilgrimage leaving for Lourdes next Friday.
Is it expensive?
Well, that's the thing. It's not. The bishop's secretary, Monsignor McFadden, forgot to count the seats in the plane. So there's 2 dozen seats going at a greatly reduced rate. You know, to take the empty look off it.
I heard nothing of that, and I was on the phone only last night to Peg Sweeney.
Your sister, being of a religious turn, might consider purchasing one of the tickets. She could look on it as an investment.
I'll mention it, but I wouldn't say she'd take it up.
Well, she said to me just before I went to New York with Guard Gallagher that she was thinking of spending some of her savings on a trip. Ah, here's Mr. Bond. I was thinking he'd look clean after dinner hour. There's news of the railway.
Well, I'll go on. Hello, Mr. Bonner. It's poor weather, lad.
Oh, the weather's chronic.
Will you take a drop, Stumpy?
I will. I do have to be back at 3.
A pint when you're ready, Jack.
Right, you are. And I might not go back.
How's that?
Did you not see the Vindicator?
Not yet. But I heard there was something about the closure.
Aye. The date's announced. And they never informed me.
Who? The railway company?
Aye, they never informed the workers. They went straight to the media, so they did. I had to read the details of my own future off the pages of the public press. Yeah.
Well, I never heard the like.
Here you are. One thing for the man.
I'll put that down to the house, Jack.
Yeah. Good luck. Are you not having one yourself?
No, I'm expecting Monsignor McFadden about the Lourdes pilgrimage.
A thing I didn't know. The chairman of the railway and the editor of the paper's as thick as champ. I always had my doubts about the editor, so I did.
Ah, he's only a blow-in. What can you expect from a low-arse leaker, man?
I was thinking I should do something drastic to draw attention to the plight of the disemployed. Like tie myself to the rails when the 11:15 from Lifford's expected.
You wouldn't go as far as that.
Oh, I would. But the 11:15's a slow train, and I'd tell Paddy McGee, the driver, to keep it real slow so they'd have plenty of time to stop.
Well, rather you and me, Stumpy. Will you write us a piece on the pilgrimage? There's a lot of seats still going a-begging.
I will. I'll say it's a chance of a lifetime for a spiritual experience.
If we get rid of the tickets, I'll pass you a few shillings. I'm on a percentage myself from the Monsignor. He'll look very foolish if he doesn't fill that plane, and so will the bishop, which is worse. Miss McConkie's thinking of going, I hear.
She's a very religious woman. I'd say the bedroom carpet has 2 bald spots on it from the weight of her knees.
She's not so well at the minute, the sister was telling me. A pilgrimage to Lourdes would be the very thing, I said.
A better raven there than here.
Oh, she's far from raven. She's not the kind that would. She's a very intellectual woman, Stumpy.
I'm not saying a thing against her. As you say yourself, there's more in that head than comes out on the comb.
That must be the name of the hotel, Vera. Oh, it's in French, of course. Le Refuge de Saint Bernadette. 26 Rue des Ursulines.
That's a coincidence.
What?
Rue des Ursulines. You've been at school at the Ursuline Convent in Sligo.
That's not a coincidence, Vera. That's divine intervention. It's telling me I'm doing the right thing, spending my money going to Lourdes.
You'll have to bring us back a bottle of Lourdes water.
Oh, I will. And one of those crystal globes for the saints standing beside the holy well. When you shake it, there's a fall of snow.
If you brought back a few, you could sell them in the shop. There'd be a big demand for them, I'd say.
I'll bring Dada's big carpet bag with me. I hope the rest of the group won't think that's peculiar.
Not at all. They'll respect you for it. And aren't most of them nuns?
Yes, there's a group celebrating the Diamond Jubilee of their order in Strabane, the Little Sisters of Pity. Oh, but I hear there's a football team going as well.
A football team on a pilgrimage?
Well, they're only taking advantage of the cheap fare. They're playing a match against Bass... Pyrenees, I think it's called.
Oh, by the way, Josie Doherty was telling me that Miss O'Hara...
What?
...has gone. She gave them good advice on how to run the Hoover homestead for tourists. And then she went back to America. So you can be talking to Mr. Doherty again.
Oh, no, Vera. No, he still has to apologize over the way he ignored me at the station. You're not done marking those forms yet.
Very few have been returned. I think the word census frightens people. But the Reverend and Mrs. Hawthorne have sent back theirs. And they didn't enter the child they haven't got.
Sure, how could they?
Yeah, they'd do anything to keep up the numbers. And look at this.
What?
A member of their congregation, the Grahams, they've entered two people who've been dead this long time. Well, I'll soon fix that. There. And this is indelible ink.
I spent nearly 2 hours in the library reading up on the statistical survey of nonconformist groupings, Samuel. Then I did the shopping, and I got your tab collar. Here it is.
Thank you, Vivian.
As we all knew, there was a lot of nonconformist emigration to the Carolinas in the 18th century. But it seems there was also some to South America. Mainly Methodist, though. I got a small joint of beef for Sunday.
Were any of the places I wrote to listed?
Yes. McKemmy College in Buenos Aires, apparently named after the Reverend McKemmy of Remelton.
I wonder if it would be too big a step.
It would probably mean that we'd only see our parents when on furlough every 5 years. I didn't have time to inquire into that. And I got some of those new skinless sausages.
You had a very busy afternoon, Vivian. I did nothing but finish my homily for Septuagesima and give Ozymandias his birdseed.
There's a new county librarian, a very nice young man from Banbridge, and he said a peculiar thing, which I suppose was apropos of emigration. The county statistician was telling him that the preliminary check on the census forms revealed a marked degree of population decline in our congregation. So marked, he said, you'd almost suppose someone had been tampering with the returns.
Returns. If the statisticians say we're a declining community, Vivian, then we may prepare for the worst. It's a pity we only learned French at school.
If you get the call to Buenos Aires and decide to accept, we'll go in a spirit of endeavour, not a spirit of defeat.
Defeat. No, definitely not a spirit of defeat. Will we have the skinless sausages for tea?
Yes, let's celebrate.
Ballylennon call office? Oh, hello, Letterkenny. A trunk call from France? From Lourdes? That's where my sister is. Yes, yes, please put it through. Hello? Hello? Can you not speak English? English. Well, try. Miss McConkie. Yes. Axie Dong. What? Oh, accident. She's had an accident. Oh, my God, Muriel must have it. Hold on, please. Yes. Hold on.
Hello, the Bants?
Hello, Reverend Hawthorne. Do you or Mrs. Hawthorne speak French?
A little, both of us.
I've a call from France and I can't understand a word the man's saying. I think my sister's had an accident.
In France?
She's on a pilgrimage. Oh, may I put him through to you?
Certainly, Miss McConkie.
Hello, caller. I'm putting you through to a person with fluent French. Oh, what will I do now? Oh, I know. Yes, Mr. Doherty.
Swelly Arms Hotel.
Oh, Mr. Doherty. Oh, I'm glad you're there. I think my sister's had an accident.
Well, this is a very serious matter, Miss McConkie.
I know that.
I mean to say, your sister's a very important woman. I'd have no hesitation in getting in touch with the French embassy in Dublin. Get them to look into it diplomatically, you know.
Oh, that wouldn't have crossed my mind.
Oh, that'd be most important. I mean, there could be matters of compensation and the like. Oh, was your sister insured?
Oh, goodness, I don't know.
Well, if she wasn't, the travel agent or Monsignor McFadden should have seen to it that she was. Oh, yes. I'll ask.
The light's gone out in the switch. I'll ring Reverend Hawthorne now and he'll... That's him ringing me. Excuse me. Reverend Hawthorne?
Yes.
I was just going to ring you.
I spoke to the French gentleman, a Monsieur Duhamel. Very nice, very considerate.
Yes, yes.
He's the admissions clerk at the Hôpital Soubirous.
Yes.
He said your sister was apparently walking alone by the grotto when she slipped on a damp paving stone. There had evidently been a shower of rain and fell into the bassin sang, the holy well.
Is she badly hurt?
Thankfully not, but I understand somewhat shocked and wet.
Well, is she in bed?
I assume so. Monsieur Duhamel is anxious to know the address where Miss McConkie is staying in Lourdes and whether she's with a group. I told him I'd obtain the information from you and let him know at Lourdes 2323.
2323. Thank you, Reverend. I'll get on to Trunks immediately and book a call. And I won't charge it to your account.
Account. That's very thoughtful of you, Miss McConkie.
Thanks. I'll ring you when I have the line. Oh, if she was full of notions when she went off, what'll she be like after this?
Accident sustained by prominent Ballylennan lady. How would Mr. Bonner have got that story so quickly, Samuel? You certainly didn't mention it, and I'm sure Miss McConkie doesn't want the public reading about her sister's unfortunate mishap.
Mishap? From Mr. Doherty, I suppose. Miss Vera McConkie mentioned that she was seeking his advice about insurance, I think.
And he immediately informed the local correspondent, in return for some other journalistic favour, you may be sure. Yes, indeed, here it is. Grand opening of Hoover Homestead planned for September. So now we know roughly when that little event will take place.
When I telephoned Monsieur Duhamel, he said Miss McConkie had suffered no physical injuries after her fall into that pond. He described this as miraculeux. He said she seemed to have undergone une expérience beatifique.
Ah, superstition. Mercifully, there's no suggestion of that in the paper. Oh, no. There is. It is understood that she was later able to inform members of her group that this was no mere accident, for during her immersion, she witnessed a vision of St. Bernadette. Monsignor McFadden, their leader, subsequently confirmed to our correspondent that the matter was receiving prayerful investigation.
It would have to be gone into. There are many instances of people being carried away by religious ecstasy.
Really? Members of the football team who were injured in a friendly game with Basse-Pyrénées will be returning on the same flight. I don't know why they run these excursions when everyone seems to end up on a stretcher.
Stretcher. Thank the Lord, Vivian, no one seems to have been gravely incapacitated.
She's not incapacitated. I have to keep telling callers that, Mr. Doherty.
Now, I did mention your sister's accident to Mr. Bonner, but only in passing. Just in passing, Miss McConkie. I think you must have got the main gist of the story from Monsignor McFadden.
If Mr. Bonner rang the Monsignor in Lourdes, the call didn't go through my switch.
Then the Monsignor probably rang the Bishop. I do see he'd have to do that. News can travel by roundabout ways, you know.
There's people dropping into the shop every minute with Get Well cards, dying to know if my sister's received the last rites. I don't like the way she's been made to look foolish on the Vindicator.
It doesn't look like that at all, not at all. And sir, poor wee Mr. Bonner's having a hard time. He's been served with his notice down at the station, I hear, along with the rest of the railway employees. And on top of that, having to keep his column going in the paper as if nothing had happened. He's very pushed, you know, getting the material together every week.
What's that?
A commercial traveller with a bad cold, Miss McConkie. I hope your sister will feel up to returning to our voluntary work with the Development Association.
I thought this trip would take her out of herself, but with this accident, oh, I don't know. I'll go home now and put a hot jar in her bed.
Be sure to give her my very best regards.
I will. She'll be glad of that.
Come here, Danny. Come out now, Stumpy. She's gone. Oh, screwed up, Sam. There's no... The dust powerful under them stairs.
I must tell Josie to give the cupboard a good sweep out. Did you hear all that?
Most of it.
There was nothing for it. But to hoose you in there when I saw her approaching with a face on her like a rat trap. I had a kind of a notion... She'd be given out to me about telling you the news of her sister's tumble. But I spoke up well for you, didn't I? I mean, I spoke up for you well.
I think you did. Me head was bent under the steps of the stairs.
My God, Stumpy, it's lucky it was you. Many another man wouldn't fit in there.
When I heard Juicy clumping up them stairs, I thought me eardrums had burst. Well, I was telling you, the redundant workers are to get 10 shillings a week up to the age of 60, when it'll be reduced to a pension of 7 and 6.
Well, that's not a bad deal, Stumpy. There's not many men who earn 10 shillings for nothing.
Is that Joe Bigger's hackney car? Isn't that very like Muriel McConkie sitting on the back?
I swear, it was Muriel. If I didn't know she's travelling with the diocesan group, and then after you at the station till, when is it?
20 past. The train's hardly that early. But they better go on. There'll be bags to carry. People with souvenirs and that. Good luck, good luck.
Good luck. That wasn't Muriel. It was our double.
I was wondering why a car was stopping at the shop. Are you all right?
Not a bother on me, dear. Would you please leave the boxes inside the door?
I will not.
Was the train early or has the clock stopped?
I decided to take a hackney from Letterkenny instead of changing from the branch line train.
That must be costing you a pound or two.
It's costing £2, exactly. Oh, be careful of that, please. It contains pottery and blessed souvenirs.
Right, you are, miss.
I got a terrible fright when the man rang from the hospital about the accident.
It wasn't an accident, Vera. It was preordained. Oh, it's true, I lost my footing inadvertently. I was just taking a stroll at the place where the pilgrims who come for immersion are assisted into the water. Such a feeling of peace. I don't know how I stumbled, but suddenly I was in the water.
My goodness.
It was when I was getting out that it...
Tea,
no, no, hurry, dear. What I want to do first thing is to ring Mr. Bonner and arrange a press conference.
He had something in the paper about your accident. I don't think he should have done that without permission. And what was that about a vision of St. Bernadette?
But that's why I want to hold a press conference. I want all the facts to be correct. My experience could be of benefit to many people, and I also want to speak to Mr. Doherty.
Have you got over your coolness with him, so?
Well, I'd a little time for reflection. It's wrong to bear grudges.
A press conference? Where?
Well, I suppose the muckish suite of the Thrilly Arms will be as good as anywhere. I'm sure Mr. Doherty will agree to that.
A lot of people have seen visions of Miss McConkie nearer to home. Wasn't there we, Molly McCallisky, who noticed two angels standing outside the Apparel stocking factory at dinner time on Tuesday? But Canon Free would have known of it.
I remember that.
I'm sure Miss McConkie reported her, sighting to the proper authorities over there, didn't you, Miss McConkie?
Oh, yes, Mr. Doherty. These things take a long time to be verified. That's what the nice Franciscan said to me in his study.
My sister wouldn't fabricate a serious thing like that.
Oh, I know, Miss McConkie, but as a journalist, I have to ask the questions that the readers want to know the answers to, and also to let your sister have a chance to give a true account.
Yes, Mr. What?
Macclestore and Tyrone Chronicle. What did it feel like?
Oh, very spiritual. An icy sensation passed through me.
Would that have been on account of the wetting you got in your own palm?
No. It was quite a different kind of sensation. Nothing to do with the damp. I wasn't even aware that my clothes were wet.
Is that a fact? And what were the comments of your fellow pilgrims?
Very sensitive. Except for one person, who turned out not to be a pilgrim at all, but a football referee. He alleged very rudely, and I think he'd drink taken, in fact, I'm sure of it, he alleged that what I'd seen was a Benedictine monk putting on his white robe to escort me to the infirmary. But I certainly was not peering through the window of his dormitory.
Oh, now, is that all the questions now, ladies and gents?
Well, now, I'd like to thank Mr. Doherty for the use of the room and for kindly organizing the proceedings.
Not at all, Miss McConkie. We all know the high regard of which you and your sister are held in this town.
Oh, well, one last question. What do you intend to do now, Miss McConkie? Will the wee shop seem very tame beside all the excitement and
foreign parts?
Well, I intend to live my life quietly, as I always have, running my business and attending to community interests in my free time.
Here, here.
But each week I'll set aside some time for others who may come to me to share in things of the spirit.
I hope that won't prevent you from resuming your voluntary work with the Development Association, Miss McConkie.
Oh, I'm afraid I'll have to retire from that with regret. But my sister here beside me has kindly offered to take my place.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to take a course in Greg's shorthand at the Letterkenny Tech.
Very well. Congratulations. And I think that concludes the business. The bar's still open downstairs, and the ladies may like to take a seat.
Mr. Bonner?
Follow me, will you?
See you there.
Mr. Bonner!
We'll have you down there in no time at all.
Mr. Bonner! Oh, Mr. Bonner! Right. I was really quite pleased that you took the initiative of writing about my experience last week.
That's all right, Miss McConkie.
Well, I can give you a full account for the next issue.
I'll take you up on that.
I could describe the scene. The grotto, the beautiful buildings, the mountains covered in snow, and the feeling of peace that swept over me. You might like to drop in some evening after I've closed the shop.
I'll be glad of that. There's not much other news at the minute, with the Greyhound season over and the amateur drama group not yet decided on what panto to do for the Christmas.
I've already had several letters from people who read your report. One of the writers asked me for an audience. You must excuse me now. I said I'd join my sister.
Good luck, Miss McConkie.
Ah, Miss McConkie, your sister's in a snug having a glass of port wine, will you?
Order
what you like
for yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Duffy. That was great excitement, Stumpy. Oh, she's a good woman.
Oh, she is. So she is.
I never knew there was a spiritual side to her, even though she's very religious. Well, every person has a surprising side to them, they say.
It's always the women.
What is?
That sees these things. You never hear of a man seeing an apparition. The women is like a different nation altogether.
You never thought of getting married, Stumpy?
I never did. They're always looking for something.
I miss poor Assumpta, but that's the way. You know, there's only one thing wrong about this.
What?
Miss McConkie's vision. Why did she have to have it out there?
In Lourdes?
Aye. Why couldn't you have had it here in Ballylennon, where it would be of more use?
Ballylennon was written by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Doherty was T.P. McKenna. Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy, Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker, Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Reverend Samuel Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy, and Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley. Ballylennon was directed in Belfast by Peter Cavanagh.